a blister, red mark, symptoms of fever. She could see nothing. But that didn't reassure her. Those who were infected could be hidden away in some sick bay, isolated in the hope of somehow containing the disease. JB and Dean could see Mildred staring at every illuminated one they passed, but didn't understand her reasons. They were all confused, except for Doc. He'd reached a similar conclusion, but in Dr. Theophilus Tanner's mind, there was no attempt to reason for a solution. If this were the way in which it had to end, then so be it. It made a kind of sense that the last remnants of the decadence that the totality concept represented would be eradicated because of its own stupidity. The sectine turned another corner into a small corridor leading off the main. At the far end was a closed sector, the only one in the section that had been closed. Ryan chewed his lip thoughtfully. The fact that it was closed made it significant. The leading sectuo turned as they reached the door, leveling their blasters on their guests. The rear two stepped back and leveled their blasters.
You're about to meet the leader. That makes you very lucky. Even we do not get to be in his presence very often. He's a busy man, planning for the time when he will take his rightful place as the leader of the new Earth. While the other scum in the transport section are considered expendable, for some reason you're considered important, at least for now. Remember that you're unarmed, and that we take great pleasure in chilling you.
The companions stayed silent, collectively biting their tongues.
Get ready to be admitted to the presence of glory.
The companions found themselves hustled through the open door by the sect team, pushed through the narrow opening without a real chance to check out the room beyond before being pushed into it. Doc and Mildred almost stumbled as they were prodded by the butts of the laser blasters.
Move! He mustn't be kept waiting.
Now inside the room, they had a chance to take a look at their surroundings. They were struck immediately by its sheer opulence and grotesque clutter. It was only slightly larger than the usual office rooms found in redoubts, but its size was hard to estimate accurately because of the vast array of ornamentation and treasures gathered within. There were finely carved antique Louis XVI chairs, gold and silver ornaments displayed in fine mahogany cabinets, polished to a fine sheen, beautifully framed oil paintings by artists from Da Vinci to Picasso, tapestries and carpets of the finest weave, and a large oak writing desk with intricate carving decorating the scrolled legs. To see such pre-dark riches crammed into such a small space was overwhelming. It took a second for them to notice the man seated behind the desk. The man was a giant. He had enormous girth and was squeezed tightly into his silver-gray uniform. It stuck to his more than ample form and showed rolls of fat dripping from his ribs and overhanging his vast stomach, which was wedged behind the desk. His head seemed almost too small for such a body, with dark hair short and swept back from a furrowed forehead over deep-set eyes, a thin nose, and full fleshy lips. His jowls hung as heavily as the rolls of fat on his body, and he appeared to be breathing heavily in repose.
So glad you could make it. I would offer you a seat, but you're tripping all over my carpet, and frankly, I wouldn't want you to stay in the seat of my chairs.
I wouldn't want to be soiled by anything that was yours.
JB moved quickly, seeing the rifle butt from the corner of his eye as it was directed toward Mildred's kidneys once more. He deflected the blow so that it grazed harmlessly off to one side, but was rewarded by the backswing, which caught him in the chest. It sent him staggering backward. He was halted by another blow across the back of his neck. He quickly fell to the ground. Ryan turned to help his friend, but found the muzzle of a laser blaster jammed into his face.
Children, children, desist from this stupidity. I really do not wish to have my chambers destroyed by anything as sordid and petty as a fight. I have wanted you to be kept alive thus far, but believe me, I would have no compunction in having you chilled where you stand, rather than risk any of my belongings. They've survived a nuclear winter, so I'm sure that they can survive you.
JB pulled himself to his feet and rejoined his comrades while the sect team stood off.
You okay, John?
He nodded, but stayed silent. It was Christy who decided to speak.
This is all very pretty, but what does it all mean? What point is there in keeping it all hidden down here, safe and warm, and never daring to venture even out of the room?
Unless her intuition had let her down, she knew she'd unerringly hit a sore point. It would seem that the fat man was indeed confined to this room by something. Looking at the desk, she could see that there was a comp terminal and a sec monitor built into the ancient wood. There also had to be a microphone with the terminal. Why would he never set foot outside the room?
Madam, your petty jibes may be intended to wound, but they will have no effect on me. I have greater matters to concern me.
So tell us about them. They must be something incredible if they confine you here.
They do not confine me. I stay here by choice, until such time as the world is fit for me to enter once more.
Suddenly, Ryan realized what had made Christie dig at their captor in such a manner. For whatever reason, either physical or psychological, the fat man couldn't leave this room, which would account for all his accumulated treasures. He had to bring them to himself, as he was unable to go to them elsewhere. It also explained why the companions had been separated from the gate. He had to have them brought to him, as he was unable to leave. And then it hit him. The fat man's words,
"Until such time as the world is fit for me to enter once more."
But if the fat man were as immobile as they suspected, then he'd never be able to leave the room, and the world would never be fit. Was this why he was intent on spreading the foul disease across the land? If he could never get out into the world, then he had to eradicate it, make it fit for himself by destroying it? Looking at Mildred and JB, Ryan could see that they'd also guessed the reasoning behind the spread of the disease. It did have a certain twisted logic. In a country that was hollow and empty, then the man confined to one room could truly be king of all, not just of what he surveyed, but of the emptiness that lay beyond.
You know, when I was a younger man, before the new cost, there was a tradition in the entertainments of the time for the villain to stand before the hero and say, "Now you will die, but first I must explain my plans for world domination to you." And of course, this would allow the hero time to effect some miraculous escape. I always used to wonder why the mastermind, supposedly so brilliant, would do something that was seemingly so stupid. In fiction, just a plot device, of course, to reveal the full extent and implication of the story to the waiting audience. But would it happen in reality? Now, there is an interesting proposition. What would one do in reality? I had always wondered, and now I know. I am about to follow in the footsteps of my fictional forebears and relate to you my story, and why I intend to follow my current course of action. Of course, there are some differences. For instance, you will not escape, and you will be chilled. Not immediately, it's true, but as the disease takes hold of you. And you will have the bittersweet knowledge of what is occurring as you helplessly spread the pox across the lands above. Yes, that rather appeals to me. The biggest difference is that, in this scenario, I win. Now that definitely appeals to me.
Mildred's mind raced. There were several things for which she needed answers, and quicker than this dangerous buffoon would supply. What exactly was the disease? Did he have a cure, or was he intending to wipe out even his own people? And what did he mean when he spoke of being a younger man before the new cost? Mildred had lived in those days and been cryogenically frozen. Doc had been technologically trawled through time, but what was this man's secret? The companions were all lost in their own thoughts. Christie's were running along similar lines to Mildred. Doc, too, was pondering on the fat man's cryptic references. Dean was eyeing the comp terminal and wondering if it would be possible to gain access to it if a fight broke out. He figured that the terminal here had to be the mother of all the others in the redoubt, and from it he could control all the systems within the base and free Tammy and the gate. Ryan and JB were balancing the chances of winning a hand-to-hand combat with the sec team against the option of waiting a little longer, lest the fat man give away more about himself and his organization that would help them in their battle against him. Jack was more decided. He was just waiting for his chance to strike.
The first thing you must know about me is that my name is Emir Tashin. I am not the first to serve under that name, although I am the same as the others. You see, although animals had been successfully cloned in the public eye before the new cost, there was always so much squeamishness about the concept of cloning in human beings that the technology was kept quiet. I am the third such Emil Tashin, my two previous bodies having died from nothing more serious than old age. Number four is currently being grown in the labs, where he will be kept at fetal stage cryogenic.